Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it's been almost 6 months now since Denmark's biggest daily newspaper published several cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad in a disrespectful light. For months afterward, the Muslim world has been embroiled in protests, some peaceful, some violent, in reaction. It's estimated about 140 people, maybe more, have been killed in related riots and sectarian strife in response to the cartoon, mostly in Nigeria, Libya, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. In Europe as well, though, profound effects have been felt. The Danish economy has suffered as a result of a boycott by much of the Muslim world, and all of Europe seems to be debating its immigration policies as well as its censorship policies. Today, although the controversy isn't grabbing the headlines it did 2 or 3 months ago, effects are still being felt. The Swedish foreign minister resigned her job just yesterday after being criticized for shutting down a website that republished the cartoons. And joining me now to talk about the effects on his country is Torben Gettermann. He is Denmark's Royal Consul General here in New York. He will be taking part tonight in an event called No Laughing Matter, a panel discussion at the Asia Society on the cartoon's effects, also including a Muslim scholar and an editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer, one of the few U.S. papers to publish the cartoons. Ambassador Gettermann, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much.
So, in a broad sense, to start out, what did you learn from this controversy, and what do you think the Danish people learned?
Well, I hope we have learned some lessons, all of us, and hopefully not only the Danish people, but there are things that when you do them, perhaps you should think a little bit more or have a greater understanding before you act. I think that's probably what we can derive from if I have to sort of put it in a very short formula.
Mm-hmm. Is that to say that you wish the newspaper had not published those cartoons?
Not really, because when you look at it, the newspaper or any media in Denmark is free to print whatever they want, to publish whatever they want. What I think is more important is that nobody, and I'm sure not even the editors of the newspaper, could foresee how the reactions would be. The level of violence that you referred to before was tremendous and horrible.
Denmark, of course, is a small country and one that's not ordinarily accustomed, I think, to being accused of anything bad. Do you think this changed the way Danes see themselves?
Perhaps it has. But on the other hand, we like to see ourselves as a tolerant society. And many find it hard to see the or understand the picture painted of Denmark now as a xenophobic country. That's difficult. Difficult to get to terms with.
And of course, this grew out of domestic conflicts. I think most Americans know very little about Denmark and just think of it as this overwhelmingly white Scandinavian country. But you do have a significant Muslim immigrant population, and it was Danish Muslim leaders themselves who played a big part in informing the rest of the world about the cartoons after they felt like their protests were not being taken seriously at home. Is there a lesson for the government, your government, in that?
I really don't know what kind of lesson we should draw from that particular or those actions of the Muslim imams that traveled during or to the Middle East. We have, I think, in place a system that safeguards, first of all, the rights of minorities. Secondly, programs that assist immigrants who come to Denmark in various ways. Things can always be done in a different way and perhaps in a better way. But I think we have a fairly good social system that takes care of people when they come to Denmark. And also, let's say, try to introduce them to the Danish way of life and the Danish tolerance.
Actually, Denmark, from what I gather, has a reputation as one of the most restrictive countries in Europe when it comes to immigration. And I know that there was tension over that even before the newspaper, Islands Posten, published these cartoons. Do you think newcomers to Denmark, especially Muslims, feel welcome there?
Well, I hope they do. I cannot speak for the individual Muslim, but I certainly hope they do.
Has this whole incident caused the government to reinspect any of those kinds of policies?
As far as I know, no change has been foreseen or is foreseen in the policies as such. But what is foreseen and what is being done is enhancing the dialogue both with the Muslim community in Denmark and I would say all parts of the Muslim community in Denmark and with much Muslim communities at large.
And your Prime Minister, Anders Rasmussen, has been criticized for dismissing those who raised a protest against the cartoons early on. He refused to meet with ambassadors and imams who requested a meeting back in October. And I don't believe he's ever issued any kind of apology. Could he have turned down the heat or avoided it getting so high just by approaching this with a different attitude from the start without necessarily altering Denmark's policies?
Well, first of all, you have to look at what are the possibilities that the Prime Minister has or any government minister would have in this case. And he has no authority at all in the sense that he cannot tell first of all, the press what to print and what not to print, that is enshrined in the Constitution. There's no government body that has any say over that. Secondly, as he has stated clearly, and this is the government position, he cannot, or the government cannot, apologize for what is being brought in a free media. That would again be labeled as interference in the freedom of speech. Freedom of expression in Denmark. So he has no possibility of even coming up with an apology. He has gone as far as he possibly could and stating his own personal view, but he cannot give an apology as such. Neither can the Queen, for that matter, even though this has also been an issue in the whole matter.
My guest on WNYC is Denmark's Royal Consul General to New York, Torben Gettermann. He'll be taking part in a panel discussion tonight at the Asia Society called No Laughing Matter on the effects of the Muhammad cartoons, also including a Muslim scholar and an editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer, one of the few U.S. papers to publish cartoons. We'll also be joined by a leading Sufi imam here in New York who will hold a dialogue right here with the ambassador coming up in a few minutes. But we can also take your phone calls at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's take a call right now. Tahar in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Tahar.
Good morning. Thank you, Brian. I would like to ask your guest whether his government is in coalition with the DPP, the Danish People's Party, which is an anti-immigrant party, or the radical liberals. And what I also like to ask him, why was it that the government did not, or the Prime Minister's office did not meet with the Muslim imams who were having a complaint concerning these cartoons, at least to meet with them and talk to them about the issue rather than to simply dismiss them? I'd like to have an answer. Whether the first one is whether his government is in coalition with the DPP.
Ambassador?
Yes. To the first question, I can answer no. There's no coalition with this party. The governing coalition, consists of two parties, which is the Liberal Party and a Conservative Party.
And what is the Conservative Party, sir?
The Conservative Party is a mainstream party, you can say. It's not out on any on the fringes of anything.
And could it be that the government, the sitting government right now, is worried about a certain right-wing element within Denmark and did not meet with these Muslim clerics who would ask a meeting with people within the Prime Minister's office?
Yeah. I can tell you that about a year and a half ago, the Prime Minister initiated a round of talks with Muslim clerics in Denmark and representatives from Muslim organizations in Denmark. And this has been an ongoing process. So it's not the prime minister not wanting to meet Muslim leaders. As for the issue of the request by the ambassadors from a number of Muslim countries for a meeting, it was decided by the prime minister that this meeting would not lead to any different position, and he would not be able to give to the Muslim ambassadors what they had requested. That is, actions to be taken against the newspaper.
Taher, thank you for your call. There is still, I believe, a boycott of Danish products in much of the Muslim world. I wonder, as a result of that, if there's been any pressure by industry in Denmark to try to get a formal apology or something like that that would mollify Muslim consumers.
No, not from the Danish industry as such. This is an individual matter. That is, the individual company can choose the way they want to deal with this issue. Only one company has actually been mentioned and has stood up, and that is the dairy company Arla, who has, in announcements in media in the Middle East, shown its position, which was apologizing for any harm that the cartoons had done.
Bill in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
I think that's the way to go. I mean, private corporations should make statements about this. We don't agree with this. We do support the right of the person to say it, but we certainly don't agree with this. And it's not something that people in Denmark generally agree with. We would not want to insult the Muslim religion. As for the New York Times, nothing would be gained by taking an anti-cartoon position and publishing the cartoons. A lot would be lost, and nothing, zero, would be gained. Everybody would be mad. People who were not mad at the New York Times would be mad at them, and other people wouldn't care. I mean, it would be purience. That's all it would be. I mean, publishing the cartoons would making the situation worse. That's a ridiculous idea.
Do you have an opinion about that, Ambassador? You will be on the panel with someone from the Philadelphia Inquirer tonight, one of the few papers to actually publish some of the cartoons in this country.
It is, of course, as it is in the Danish Constitution and in many other constitutions, the right to free speech and freedom of expression. And it's up to the individual, be that media or the individual person, to decide whether whatever this person or this media wants to state or bring is fit to print.
How's Islands Posten doing, by the way? Is it still the most widely read newspaper in Denmark? Have there been any changes there?
I haven't seen any figures as to the increase or decrease in the readers. Nothing has been published to that effect.
Right. And there were some changes made in the editorial staff, right? The editor who was responsible for this resigned.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he was...
Was fired.
He was sent on indefinite leave.
Which means what?
Well, I can't really interpret what the newspaper means by that, but at least
I think it usually means fired in this country.
But it might.
We're going to continue in a minute with Ambassador Getterman from Denmark, and we're also expecting Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf from here in New York. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I want to invite you to our next Brian Lehrer Show public event. The topic this time is Cities at Risk, the Benefit of Hindsight. And we will see how New York and other cities can learn from 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, and other major events. This will be Friday morning, April 7th at the New School. Our guest will be 9/11 Commission member and New School President Bob Carey, former director of FEMA James Lee Witt, Martin O'Malley, the mayor of Baltimore, and Clark Kent Irvin, former inspector general for the Department of Homeland Security He's an interesting guy. He resigned recently because he didn't like some of the directions they were going in. This event will be presented with and at the Milano School for Management and Urban Policy at the New School at the Tishman Auditorium, 66 West 12th Street, between 5th and 6th Avenues. Admission will be free, but reservations are necessary. And admission, by the way, gets you a continental breakfast at 8 o'clock, opening remarks at 8:30, and then our panel discussion beginning at 9 a.m. on Friday, April 7th. Then the event continues afterwards until 1 p.m. with another panel discussion and remarks. To reserve a seat, you can call 212-229-5400, extension 1482. That's 212-229-5400, extension 1482, or email urbanconversations@newschool.edu, urbanconversations@newschool.edu. Additional information from WNYC at our listener services line, 212-669-3333, or on the events page at WNYC.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We've been talking this hour so far with Denmark's Royal Consul General in New York, Torben Gettermann, about the controversy that erupted after a Danish newspaper published cartoons that were considered blasphemous by many Muslims last year. We are expecting, or at least were expecting, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, leading Sufi imam here in New York City and founder of the American Sufi Muslim Association. But so far we're having trouble locating Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. We hope he will join us in just a couple of minutes if we can straighten out that problem. But we continue in the meantime with Ambassador Gettermann, and so we can take some more of your phone calls, and let's do that right now. Tarek in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Tarek.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have questions to Mr. Ambassador, and also at the same time is a comment. What I want to say, when God asks us to do the right stuff and right thing, and we violate God's rules, doesn't mean God is wrong. Doesn't mean we are wrong. When one of the God prophet, a messenger to us, asks us to do something good for us, and we don't do it, doesn't mean Muhammad or Moses or Jesus is bad or wrong. Doesn't mean we are doing wrong. We never accuse Christianity for terrorists when Adolf Hitler killed 50 million persons. We never accuse Christianity terrorists when Timothy McVeigh act his terrorist act in five years ago. However, if one Muslim doing something wrong doesn't mean Muhammad is terrorist and all Muslims is terrorist and we have to fight the terrorist. And it's like, seem to me, it's everything going in wrong direction, and it's like a fashion. Today's fashion be against Muslim. Anyone talks about 9/11, I believe it must be dialogue somehow between the people and also the regular person must understand. This is nothing wrong with religion. If someone doing something wrong, that's his own act. And thank you very much.
Okay, Tarek, thank you very much. Ambassador, I guess that goes in part to one of the particular cartoons which depicted Muhammad with an explosive device. And so the critique is that would be very different than caricaturing individual radical Muslims or radical Muslim factions doing something in the name of Muhammad. It kind of much more directly associates the prophet himself, therefore the religion itself, with the terrorist acts. Do you have a reaction to that particular cartoon, and did you see it?
Yes, I have seen all the cartoons, but I don't think as in the capacity that I'm here that I would comment on the cartoons as such. What they depict and what the various messages are. But I would say that it is, of course, important also to note that even if we have freedom of speech in Denmark, you also have limitations to the extent that blasphemy is punishable. And I think it's important to remember also that it's been said many times that freedom of speech is unconditional. Other parties have said it's not unconditional. I believe most countries have provisions in their laws that in one way or the other limit the freedom of speech or what you can do. For instance, based on the Human Rights Convention, the respect for minorities, religious minorities in this case, for instance. I think it's important to keep this in mind.
Brian in Freehold, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a microcosm of the greater problem the world is facing today between the Muslim world and freedom of speech in the Western world. I think the reaction of those Muslims who rioted and killed people is way out of line, considering there are cartoons published in Muslim media that are anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and they are of a religious nature often. And I also wanted to respond quickly to a prior caller's comment about equating the Prophet Muhammad to all being a terrorist versus the extremists who have hijacked him, for lack of a better word. I think that there, oftentimes in the Muslim world, the commentary from religious leaders and political leaders is insightful. It is our way or there's no other way, oftentimes. At least that's how it's portrayed in the Western world. But I still feel that there is never an excuse. And yes, there is a temper on freedom of speech in this country. You cannot incite riots by your speech. There are tempers, but I don't think that this rose to that level. This wasn't someone standing on a soapbox on the street corner saying, let's go burn down Parliament.
Ambassador?
Yeah, well, I think what we're looking at here are the perceptions of the various religions and the values of, on the one hand, religious communities or religions and core values of democracies. I mean, not democracies, but the democratic core values. And the challenge, I think, in the future will be to try to reconcile these two elements to the best way for and the best way possible. As somebody mentioned to me the other day, they'd had a discussion among a group of people who were pro and against the cartoons, and the end result was that they agreed to disagree.
Right. The only thing I would take issue with in what you said, Brian, is that the I think it's unfair to say that so many imams around the world are saying in the name of Islam that for the world it has to be my way or the highway, as you put it. Obviously, there are some elements of that. That's obvious. But I wonder if you were painting with, I think you were painting with a little too broad a brush there.
Well, like I said, I think it's a part of it is the way it is portrayed or what is portrayed in this country or what information is received here. It is that type of extremism that makes headlines here as opposed to moderation. And that's the way it always is. One other thing I just wanted to bring up that I think, again, instilling these concepts of democracy in countries that have been extremists, for lack of a better word, are not democratic for so many years, so many centuries, which possibly is what President Bush's intent is in Iraq, is it's not impossible, as much as I try to be optimistic, close to impossible. I think it's going to be very, very, very difficult. And you can see what's going on in Western Europe. One cartoon has led to all of this. So, thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much for your call. And my guest for another few minutes is Ambassador Torben Gettermann. He's the Danish Royal Consul General in New York and will be taking part tonight in a panel discussion at the Asia Society called No Laughing Matter about the cartoons and their effects. So, Ambassador, what do you think this was all really about? Was it Islam versus the secular West, free speech versus religious devotion, bigotry against foreigners, civilization against barbarism? What was at the root of the conflict, and why did it break out so big in this case?
That's probably the most difficult question to answer. But I think looking at how it all started. It started as a local test, you would call it. It's not an international newspaper, it's a national newspaper. That it then spiraled out of hand is a different matter. There's been talk about Clash of Civilizations, so on. But as I said before, I think it's more a question of the values that we each attach to the community we live in, be that a religious or a non-religious community. On the other hand, I mean, because there's so many issues here, many of the protests and the large majority are, I believe, stemming from a genuine uproar against what is seen as blasphemous to a Muslim. Others may have had other agendas that had nothing to do with the cartoons as such, but that the cartoons helped trigger. That could be internal disputes in a country. It could be political disputes in a country. That has nothing to do with the cartoon. So I think there are many issues here. So it's not just one answer why this all happened and why we can look back on riots and protests.
Adnan in Columbus, Ohio. You're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Yeah, hi. Great show. My question is, it's for me, it's not the cartoon or Muhammad. It's the message and the timing of the cartoon. The cartoon is suggesting that all Muslims are terrorists. And this is very insulting for all of us. So now my question is, what should we do as Muslims, especially here in the United States? What should we do? We did everything we could. We said we are against terrorists. We don't support the terrorists. And again, you know, the cartoon is suggesting that we are all terrorists. So the subject of the cartoon and the timing. What should we do in his opinion, in your guest's opinion? Thank you.
Adnan, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
So what you're really saying is that you feel frustrated because despite your and others in your community best efforts to say that you in no way support the terrorists, you still get tarred this way.
Absolutely. That's what I wanted to say. See, it's suggesting that we are all terrorists, and no matter what we do, we still terrorists in their eyes. And the timing, and just look at the timing of the cartoon, why now?
Would it have been different for you if, let's say, some of the cartoons, and maybe some of them did, I'm not sure actually, but let's say that Muhammad, that particular Muhammad with explosives cartoon that we were talking about before, if it was done a little differently so that it was a small group kind of dragging the prophet into this, but the prophet was still depicted, would that be as offensive to you?
Well, the prophet as a figure is, I'm not really good religious man, I've never been, but I mean, again, why they picked the prophet in particular, just to insult everybody of us. We did everything we could. I mean, I have nothing to do with 9/11. I have nothing to do with 7/11. You know, what can we do? What else we can do? And then, you know, the funny thing is they accusing Muslims, the victims, of being violent, you know. So this is my question.
Yes.
What, in his opinion, what should we do?
And Adnan, I'm going to get that answer for you in a minute, but I want to ask you one last thing, which is do you have any thought on why the United States never became embroiled in this controversy in the same kind of way? There were a few small protests, I think, around the United Nations, but there was not the big outpouring of protest, either in Philadelphia, where the Inquirer, the major newspaper in town, published it, even here in New York, where the New York Sun published some of the cartoons. What do you think? There's something about the United States, or the a more successful assimilation in the United States, or something?
My answer to this is, this country, it's, we as a minority in this country, we are more integrated with the community. And we don't have problems like in Europe. That's what makes this country a great country.
Adnan, thank you very much for your call. And Ambassador, to his question, which is an expression of frustration, what do we have to do?
Yeah, I can certainly understand the frustration. Exactly what the Muslim community in the U.S. or in other parts of the world could do, I cannot really give an answer to that. But I can perhaps say that from our side here in locally in New York, I've been in contact with several Muslim leaders to talk about the issue and to find out where we can go from here and in what ways we can learn from this situation that nobody really wanted or nobody really desired. But it has opened
Do you think, though, that there is something different in Denmark or other European nations in the way society is organized that's just less successful in terms of dealing with diversity?
That's a tough question. It depends, you know, how you deal with it. In the U.S., you deal with it one way. In the European countries, we deal it with it in a different way. We try to basically legislate and make programs, whereas it's my, at least, understanding from the short time I've been here in the U.S., that integration is more a question of everyday life, integration in the workplace, where people get integrated in a different way than we do it in Denmark.
One more call. Mark in Homedale, New Jersey, or on WNYC. Mark, we have about 30 seconds for you.
Hi. Can I just tell you what really frustrates me is that these Muslim minorities that live in Europe and they live in America, they come out and they show their freedom of expression. They tell the world how they're very upset because they are discriminated against, the Prophet, this and that. But how come in Middle Eastern countries where Islamic law is there, you're not allowed to, for instance, build churches? There's a man in Afghanistan that's on trial because he converted to Christianity. This is not terrorism. Islamic law in itself is terrorism, which is derived straight from the Prophet Muhammad.
Well, Mark, I think that's a very overbroad statement. But, Ambassador, we could tell from all of our callers today that there is a lot of dialoguing, at very least, left to do before there's much more understanding on this whole thing, yes?
Definitely, and I think that's the key word to everything, dialogue, respect, and tolerance. That's what we need to move on from here.
Torben Gettermann is Denmark's Royal Consul General in New York. He will be taking part tonight in No Laughing Matter, a panel discussion at the Asia Society on the cartoon's effects, also including a Muslim scholar and an editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer, one of the few U.S. papers to publish the cartoons. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you very much to you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. ¶¶